Then I was so insulted.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Debra.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
We have a Mazel Tov in order today.
Oh my God, you're so cute.
Miss Kelly.
Oh.
Therapist Kelly, your book went out today.
It did.
Publication out everywhere, right? Amazon. Okay, say the title because I don't want to mess it up.
Sure. Thriving with ADHD. It's a workbook for kids with ADHD ages 7 through 12.
It's awesome. Yay.
So I'm excited.
So anybody out there listening, we do have to give a little plug here for Kelly. Go
and you're so cute. You should be like my PR.
I should. I
I'm
would
not
love
kidding.
To do that. That's okay. It's another
Who
career. I'll do it. I'll do it.
All right, done.
Yeah. I don't think you can afford me though.
I was going to say I'll pay you more than 10% or whatever we freaking pay our agent, 15%. So funny.
Yes, but that's very exciting. So yes,
thank you.
Pick up a copy and you're having a little book party
yes.
this weekend. Of course, that you say that David threw for you, but you really did it.
I totally did it. That fucker, he didn't do it. I did it. I was like, it's my idea. I'll just, you know, make it look
put
like
his name
it.
On it. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
It's such a nice idea. Thank you, David.
Give him the credit. Everyone's going to give him the credit.
So I had an amazing time in Oregon. That's why I wasn't here last week. I missed the show and I missed you, but it
yes.
was really, really, really fun. We went to her graduation from college and her boyfriend, who's an Olympiad runner from England, who's sponsored by Nike, was there, and he did some hosting with us there at his house and stuff like that, and we had a great time.
That's awesome.
It was really, really, really fun. It was so okay. sweet because my older niece flew in from Hong Kong. My
wow.
daughter and her boyfriend drove up from Nevada City,
oh my God.
And we flew in, and my sister flew in, and it was just
That's
one
amazing.
Big party. It was so much fun.
By the way, I'm so sorry. I probably smell like chlorine, and it's like a chlorine-infested pool in here, but I went swimming the other day. You're looking at me like I'm an alien with two heads.
You remember Chris swims every
oh, that's
day.
Right, so you're I like
am,
immune to it.
Yes, I have to
yeah.
lick chlorine every
okay.
day.
Okay. All right, done. Wait, but I got to tell you about my losing my kids in Haiti story.
Oh my gosh. Only you.
Okay, so as you know,
obviously they've been found because she is laughing.
Yeah, exactly. This is so crazy. So I went on my cruise a few weeks ago and we went to this private island of Haiti because the cruise ship docks there or whatever. And it was pretty big. It was pretty big. There was like several different beaches. And long story short, but our travel agent gave us a free upgrade to a suite. And so we got to go on a private beach. Okay. So you take a little cart to this like private beach.
Because
so,
you had a suite on the cruise ship.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
that also gives you these mm-hmm. upgrades on land. Okay,
exactly.
Gotcha.
So I'm... you know, we go to this like private beach and Remy and London are with me. And then there's this like water park area. And so I said to Remy, hey, I'll walk you over to the water park area, take London, and, you know, you guys can hang there. I mean, you know, he's almost 9 and London's 5. And he's like, okay, but mom, like, what if I can't, like, find you, you know, when I come back? No, you'll be fine. I blew it off. I literally was like, no, you'll be fine. So.
Well, if he has your sense of direction, what was wrong with you?
Screw it, exactly. He actually has a better sense of direction than
thank
me.
Thank goodness.
Which, thank God, we'd be in trouble. So I'm like, you know, it's 45 minutes and I'm like hanging out, reading my book, talking to my mom. And then I was like, you know what? I should probably check on them, be the good mom that I am. I go to the water area.
Not there.
Not to be found.
Oh, no.
So then, you start to get like a little nervous. I'm looking around and there's probably like 6 different beaches, you know, in all different
oh,
directions.
No.
And I'm like, uh-oh. So then I get like a Haitian security guard. And this is like the funniest part ever. It's like they're so relaxed. Like I said to the guy, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm missing my children. It's going to be okay. Like, and I'm like, no, like I need to get in your cart with you. And we need to like, you know, we need to like check out where my kids are. He's like, no, I put a call in. It's going to be okay.
I put a call in.
And I'm like,
no,
I'm going to come with you. I almost like steered his cart. So we're looking around. He's still like halfway. He's like, it's going to be okay. You don't need to go. And I'm like, I do. I need to go. It was just very funny. So finally, brings us back and I go to the
they're in the bathroom
I go back to our meeting spot. Remy is so smart. He had gone to the wrong beach but found somebody I always taught him, go to like a nice woman or whatever. And so he had found someone who had a phone, and he asked her, like, hey, can you call my mom? He memorized my number, and then I didn't get the reception, but he called David. And then he's like, Mom, I knew it wasn't the right beach because I remember looking at the ship in a certain direction.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, his perception's really good. Thank God.
That's awesome.
So anyway, long story short, we befriended the people who saved my children. They were on their honeymoon from England.
Oh.
And we took them out for drinks, and I, like, keep in touch with them.
That's so sweet.
Isn't that adorable?
Yes.
Sorry. Sorry about my crazy story, but it just had to be told in detail.
Yes, it had to be told.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank goodness for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, darling. Will you talk about last week's show, since I was not here?
Yes. So last week I was solo. I had a ton of fun. We had Maggie Hadley West, and she's a filmmaker and activist of Yo Maggie Productions, and the film that we featured was called War Zone. It was really, really interesting. And even if you just checked out the trailer, it's fascinating with everything that's going on right now with the Me Too movement. It talks about sexual harassment and things like that. So she was a wonderful guest.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I'm glad I found her, and I'm glad
yes,
she could do it.
I know.
Yes, and I'm
you
so sad that I missed it. Yeah. But I'm going to have to listen to the show.
Yes.
And have to go watch the video.
Yeah, exactly.
Today, ooh, this is really a treat. We have Dr. Stephen Bowers, who is a board-certified family physician and has been part of St. Luke's University Health Network in Bethlehem. It's Bethlehem, right?
Yeah.
Pennsylvania, since 2014. He received his medical degree from the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. He did his internship at Crozer Health System and residencies at both Christiana Care Health System and Drexel University.
Kahneman.
Thank you. He currently serves as the medical director for the St. Luke's Wound Management and Hyperbaric Medicine Centers and has additional certification in wound care and hyperbaric medicine. In his spare time, he enjoys surfing and spending time at the beach with his wife and three kids. He's with us today to talk about his new book, Secrets of the World's Healthiest People. Welcome, Dr. Steve.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So happy to have you on, because you are the world's healthiest man, right?
Wait, she put so much pressure on you. I'm so sorry.
I'm not making that claim.
Yeah, exactly.
So why did you write this book? What inspired you?
Well, I mean, really, my wife's a writer, so I wrote the book with my wife, and, you know, ever since I was in residency and you know, finished, we've always discussed, you know, different options for, you know, what we could possibly do together. She's written for other physicians as well, so we're always kind of looking for something that we could do. We're both interested in health. We both, you know, exercise, try and eat pretty healthy. So this is, you know, a topic that we discuss quite often. So, you know, we think it's something that we both have an interest in. We would pursue trying to do a book about it.
So this is fascinating. I'm like an 80-year-old woman, because I've read Prevention magazine since I was like in my 20s. Like my roommate, seriously, my roommates would be like, what are you reading? Like, who reads Prevention at like 20, you know? But
I read it too with Reader's Digest, because it was always on my mother's coffee table.
But at least she was the, you know, the person to purchase
she
it.
Like, I'm never did anything healthy. However, she did read about health.
Right, exactly. Right. No, I love that. So that's how I found you guys. I mean, I think it's just absolutely fascinating.
Before we launch in too much to the book, though, can you tell our audience what is hyperbaric medicine? Because I think it's such a wonderful component of the medical field that a lot of people don't know anything about.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, I agree. There's a lot of physicians and people who have no idea what hyperbaric medicine is. So it's we basically put people in a hyperbaric chamber. There's multi-place big chambers, and then there's monoplace chambers, and So we all live at one atmosphere of pressure. We put people at two atmospheres, so that's like going 33 feet into the ocean, so a significant amount of pressure. And then while you're in that chamber, you breathe 100% oxygen. So what happens is we drive that oxygen into the liquid part of our blood. Normally, oxygen's on our red blood cells, so we just basically bypass that, push it into the liquid part of your blood, and then it gets delivered to areas that need it. So, you know, we basically treat radiation injuries and wounds and failing flaps that plastic surgeons have done. But yeah, it's really kind of a misunderstood, and a lot of people don't know what it is we do.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's so cool. Now, it's completely different than cryotherapy, I imagine. Like, that's just the cold chambers where they, like freeze you for like 2 minutes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. The cryotherapy. Yep. Completely different thing than hyperbaric.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating. Wow.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's a great. Great to tell us about that. So basically this book is based on a number of interviews and research and such, right? How did you discover or what kinds of people were you looking for to interview?
Really, we were looking for kind of ordinary people. You know, there's been plenty of work done on, you know, the blue zones, and, you know, you hear about stories, you know, people who live in this one island eat this berry and they're healthy. We were looking for, you know, your average everyday person who's kind of doing extraordinary things and, you know, is somehow 98 years old and on no medication and, you know, doing skydiving or, I mean, you know, it's crazy what some of these people are doing in their 70s, 80s, and 90s in this book. So, you know, we were really looking for someone who could be your neighbor and, you know, what are they doing that's making them healthy.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So, Kelly, you and I are going to put each other to the test, okay?
Okay.
In part of the beginning part of the book, he's got 9 ways to live to 100 and beyond, okay? So go to page 11.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you the question, and you're going to answer on my behalf whether you think I do or don't.
Oh, okay, sure.
And then I'm going to answer on your behalf. You cool with that, Dr. Steve?
Yeah, sounds great.
All okay. Right. All right. So first question, you'd give me your answers about what you think for me.
For you.
Okay. Live in cultures that require you to move naturally with activities such as walking to get places and gardening.
100% you.
Okay. Wake up each morning with a purpose.
Yes, I agree with you.
They know how to relieve stress.
Yes.
Put a question
mark. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to hesitate because I think you know it. Now, do you always do it?
Always do it. Good answer. Okay. They eat until they are only 80% full, leaving a 20% gap, helps them control their weight. They also eat smaller meal of the day last.
Okay, so the first part of that, I definitely think you are, as we did lunch today, and you left more than 80%. And then I would say, smallest meal, I feel like your biggest meal is probably dinner. No. Okay.
No, biggest meal is actually breakfast, then okay. Moderate for
lunch,
and then the smallest for dinner.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
But you
yeah.
cook like a champ, so I would think for dinner, you'd be like,
well, there okay. you go. Rude. Okay. They eat mainly a plant-based diet. Those who eat meat do so less than 5 times a month.
I'd say, I don't think you eat a ton of meat. Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll have to ask Dr. Steve if chicken counts as meat, if they're talking about red meat or not. What is it?
No, meat in general. Yep.
So,
chicken
okay.
counts.
So
chicken
then, then I eat it more than...
Okay.
So we'll say no on that one.
Okay.
Drink alcohol regularly, but moderately, about 1 to 2 drinks per day. So
this one...
yes, absolutely.
This one you absolutely failed. But that's probably the only one you failed, okay?
Because I drink a little bit more than that.
Right.
But I compensate with all the exercise and all that.
That's true.
Okay.
Good rationalization.
Yes. Most belong to a faith-based community.
I don't think you do.
Put family first.
Yes.
Yep. And have strong social networks that also put a strong emphasis on healthy habits.
Yeah, I would say that.
Okay, so I'm going to go with you.
Okay.
Cultures that require activities, yes.
Uh-huh.
You wake up each morning with a purpose, for sure.
Uh-huh.
You know how to relieve stress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you do work at that, even
yeah.
though sometimes you come in very frazzled.
Yeah, sure.
I would say that you probably are moderate on number 4 about eating only time.
Can we just pause and tell what happened today while we're getting food? This is so funny. So we got lunch today, Deborah and I, before the show, and we both got salads. Okay, I'm just gonna make it like very clear, this is not like fried chicken and like waffles. I mean, we both got salads, and I was like really hungry because I did a full hike before I got here.
I did Pilates and a walk,
and so Deborah gets a salad and she's like, oh, I'm probably only gonna eat half. She's like all dainty. I chugged the whole thing.
She did.
And ate
it
the
was
whole
awesome.
Thing. But anyway,
okay. Plant-based diet for sure. You're
yes,
that.
For uh-huh. sure.
Drink alcohol regularly. You don't drink at all. Poor you. Okay.
Correct.
You failed to. I compensate for you.
Exactly.
Okay. Belong in a faith-based community. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And put family first. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And social networks. Yeah, I think we did pretty good.
I think so too.
What do you think, Steve? Are we going to live?
That sounds good.
All right. I love that. Now, how did you come across those 9? This is just from interviewing and research from different...
No, so the ones on page 11, those were the things they found from the Blue Zone.
Right.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So those were kind of, if you look up any of the Blue Zone stuff, that's kind of the stuff that they already found. So that was kind of how we started the book, was, you know, that's kind of what's out there. And then, you know, we took it to the next level or the level that we wanted to, where we kind of went through all of these people and then... You know, we kind of come up with our plan as far as, you know, how does it We weren't really comparing our the people we interviewed to the Blue Zone, but really what it comes down to is a lot of this stuff ends up being very similar, you know, after we interviewed all these people and found what they're doing that makes them so healthy. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that those things were right out of the Blue Zone. You know, what they found with their research.
Got it.
So funny, by the way, did you see in here, you talk about the science of telomeres. We actually
had
a woman
had a guest on.
Yeah, the telomere effect.
So maybe you could speak to that a little bit too. What is that?
So, yeah, so genetically, you know, the telomere is kind of the end of your chromosome. So as cells replicate, they're basically getting shorter and shorter and shorter to the point where they're so short and then the cell dies. And what they're finding is that the length of the telomeres can really determine, and there's, I think, still a lot of research that needs to be done, but what they're finding is there's kind of an optimum range where you want to be. If the telomere is too long, it can actually lead to cancer, and if it's too short, basically those cells are dying, so you're not regenerating tissue, or they can become faulty and basically also turn into cancer. So there's kind of a mid-range point that you want your telomere length to be.
Right. That makes sense.
And how do you get that tested?
There is the, my wife, it's in the book. My wife and I did the test.
Oh, cool.
I think there's two things you can go online. I don't even remember. How we gave the sample. I don't know if it was, did we do a little finger prick or something? I forget exactly how we did it, but both did it. And sent it off, and then it, a couple weeks later, we got a report, both of our, you know, what our age was in telomere years, and there's two, at least two when we did it, that were available, and yeah, they'll measure it, send you your results back.
So, that's exciting. I really want to do that, but I'm scared.
No, I was just going to say, I'm kind of scared. I mean,
it was like, I'm not usually like concerned about stuff like that.
Yeah.
And when you send it off, it is kind of scary because you don't know what you're going to hear when it comes back. And then, you know, what do you do if it's really long and in that concerning range or really short, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, our recommendations in the book are really what you should do. I mean, you know, make those changes, but it was a little concerning when we sent those off. And then when you get that email, it's kind of like, oh, man, what am I going to see here?
But I take it was very good for you and your wife.
Yeah, I think we were both, we're both 42, and I think our telomere age was 32. So we were 10 years younger than...
Oh, that's great.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we were happy with that.
So awesome. I want to know a little bit about, because I imagined you interviewed a ton of people and kind of who stood out for you and why.
Yeah, we did. I mean, I think it was over 30 people that we interviewed, and we had many more we could have done, and we kind of had to cut it off at some point because, you know, people just kept making recommendations. And really what was amazing is they were all really fascinating. I mean, there was not one that I read where it was kind of like, this is... Mm-hmm. I mean, each one was really kind of stood out in their own way. Some individual ones... there's a couple she's in her 70s, he's in his 80s, and they are currently, they're skydivers. So they've so many hundred or so many thousand skydives. They're constantly traveling. They've been to over 200 countries. And what I find really neat is when they go to on a vacation to a different country, they don't book any hotels. So they kind of want to get there, see what is going on, and then if they like a city, they stay there for a long period of time. If they want to move on, they just kind of, you know, go along as the vacation unfolds, and really with no specific plans, which I think is just a great thing to do and tough to do. You know, everyone wants to plan out their vacation to a T, and the next day we got to go here and there. So, you know, a 70 to an 80 year old skydiving and traveling to all these foreign countries, I found really fascinating. Another one, there was a surf photographer who we interviewed. Yeah, I'm a surfer. I'm either watching surfing or attempting to go surfing, kind of an addiction of mine. But so one of the guys, Tom Servais, is a professional surf photographer. He's been doing it for a long time. A lot of photos that are, you know, really well known in the surfing community. He's in his 60s and he's still out in all these big waves.
Wow.
At the competitions, you know, swimming, taking pictures. You know, just to hear what someone like that does to stay in shape, to me, is fascinating, you know, because that's what I want to be able to do when I'm in my 60s, is kind of, you know, be out there living that kind of lifestyle. So, I mean, that's two. You know, another one that stood out, there's a, it was a 70-some-year-old lady who lives in Northern California, and she runs a 500-acre ranch.
Wow.
By herself.
Oh, my God.
So she basically does all the repairs on her fence. She hunts for her food. She lives off of her land. She basically makes everything from scratch. And a lot of it came from her. I think it was her niece and her nephew who were kind of giving us, you know what they were amazed with their aunt. And she was just a really humble, you know, kind of wondering why we were so intrigued by what she was doing. But yeah, in her 70s,
wow.
You know, baling hay, I mean, everything, running a ranch 500 acres by herself. I mean, it's just amazing. That was three of the 30 some, but those were a few that stood out to me.
Wow. You said you could see me doing that?
Yes, I could.
I would love it.
I could totally see you doing that.
I don't know about 500 acres, though.
Oh, my God.
How about 2 acres?
That's a lot of land.
That's
a lot of land.
Yeah, lot of
exactly.
land.
Wow.
Cutting down blueberry trees. As long as there was horses, though, I could ride
You'd
all
be happy?
Day. Yeah.
You could see that.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. So I see this. You should be skeptical of energy bars. Why?
Well, I think a lot of them really are no more than a candy bar. I mean, if you look at the amount of sugar and the ingredients, you just have to be careful what you're eating. I think there's a lot of good ones out there. But I think the misconception is you can run into Wawa and grab an energy bar and you're eating healthy when, you know, that energy bar might have 40 grams of sugar and a bunch of processed food in it. So it's, you know, it's sugar is energy. So,
right, exactly.
You know, it depends on where you're getting that energy from. Is it, and, you know, sugar itself isn't bad. There's a lot of bars that are made of, you know, organic dates and raisins yeah. and mm-hmm. almonds and, you know, the sugar content's going to be higher, but you're getting natural sugars. You're getting it from healthy, organic, whole foods. So that's completely different than processed, you know, sugary, simple carbohydrates. So, you know, I think there are some that are excellent. I think there are some that are, you know, a candy bar.
So we hear so many people in the world say, I don't have time to make a meal. I don't have time to eat. So if you had to recommend to somebody who was like type A, fast paced, who did wanted to make some change in their overall snacking rituals or meal rituals, what would you recommend that they put together that's really quick and really easy to take on the go?
I mean, I think the simpler you keep it, the better off you are. I mean, it doesn't take long to, you know, make a smoothie in the morning. You just have to make sure you have what you need. You know, do you have a banana, spinach, some peanut butter or protein powder and some almond milk? And, you know, it takes a minute to throw that in a blender and make a really healthy smoothie in the morning. You know, grab a handful of nuts or, I mean, what I do, I grab a thing of nuts or like a trail mix, and I'll just put that in my work bag and or mm-hmm. keep it in my car. You know, when I'm hungry in between my meals, I grab a handful of that. You know, everyone can eat a salad over lunch. It's not difficult to do. Everywhere you go, you can find a salad to eat. It can be at McDonald's. It can be at a nice restaurant. You know, you don't have to, because you're at McDonald's, you don't have to make the excuse. You know, you can get a salad anywhere.
That's true.
And again, I mean, yogurts. I mean, there's so many quick, easy things you can grab on the run. I mean, I think that's, you know, we're all busy, you know, it's just a matter of finding that time to get, you know, I think it takes a little prep work also. You got to make sure you have what you need, but, you know, take a second and stop at a store. You can grab what you need on the run also.
We've been talking with Dr. Stephen Bowers. He is the author of Secrets of the World's Healthiest People. And you know what I love about this, Dr. Steve, is I love this, the World's Healthiest People Index. So if you're looking specifically for something in the book, it's great. So it's like if you have joint pain, you talk about which person to read because they talk a little bit about that. Or if you're older than 60 or struggling with weight or things like that, which I think is great. So you can kind of, you know, direct it to what you need. Which is beautiful.
So Kelly has never been a soda person. I used to be a Diet Coke junkie, which I am now almost 4 years completely clean. So
that's
yay.
Amazing.
I know, right? Right. I went to Alaska on a cruise and decided I wasn't going to use the soda machine, switched to iced tea, and never went back.
Amazing.
Isn't that good?
Didn't you feel so much better?
No. In theory,
she's honest.
Yes. I actually did drop a couple pounds just like that. But I wanted to ask Dr. Steve, what's your analysis of Diet Coke? Is it as bad as people say it is, or is it really just not?
I think soda honestly is one of the worst things you could drink.
Definitely.
I mean, know,
there's
because
nothing,
of the sugar, right?
There's, there's nothing good in soda. It's a completely processed, you know, even the diet sodas, I mean, they're finding they basically trick your body into thinking that there is sugar. So you're still getting an insulin spike. Insulin causes weight gain. So you're basically sending your body down that same pathway, promotes inflammation. I mean, all the things you don't want to do. So yeah, no, I'm not a fan of soda.
So it's funnily though, when I went to get my colonoscopy, the guy,
yeah,
the doctor, his name is Dr. Kind. Isn't that a great name?
Cute.
So sweet. He's drinking a Diet Coke. I'm like, what's up with that? You're
no.
drinking a Diet Coke. He goes, oh, it's not that bad. I said, you're just saying that because you're addicted to it. He goes, well, I have this good water, too. Would you like to buy some?
Oh, my God.
So
that's
funny.
Surprising.
Well, you know, people have their habits, and then we justify, like, right? I mean, I've done it before.
True.
He goes, oh, it's not that bad.
Right.
But, you know, maybe it's all hype, right? Just like you hear things in the news, and it turns out 10 years later that was all hype.
But I think soda really...
I think
I'm
it agree, is bad.
Yeah.
I'm just
agree
playing
with you,
devil's. I'm glad that I gave it up because it is very addictive.
Absolutely.
I mean, I used to crave it, like literally the big jumbo size, whether it was Jack in the Box or whatever, just I had to have two of those massive ones a day. And if I didn't, I was like I was a junkie.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. You knew me then. You just didn't know because I was always fortified with it.
Right, exactly. Well, that's like me with my dark chocolate. I need
that's right.
It.
Kelly
need
is a dark chocolate aficionado. We just after lunch, she, of course, also on top of this big, huge meal that she had, had to have
my dark chocolate.
Did you finish it in the car?
No. I only had a couple squares. But I Dr. Steve will be proud. It's always most likely 85% or above. Like, that's my sweet. I love that. It's great.
Yeah. Hey, and look, there's plenty of good evidence about dark chocolate actually being beneficial. So, yeah, nothing wrong with a piece of dark chocolate. Again, it's the amount, you know, people, dark chocolate's good for you. So, you know, you eat two dark chocolate bars a day. That's not the point. You have a square or two, like you said, after your lunch and satisfy that sweet tooth craving and then, you know, move on.
So I want to know, too, like, what were the most surprising things? I mean, obviously, you talked about the skydiving and things like that, but was there anything else that surprised you? I mean, obviously, you've been in health for a long time in this field, but I'm curious if anything shocked you.
Yeah, no, I mean, what I found amazing was just how active and how positive these people were. I mean, every single person that we interviewed was just an upbeat, positive, you know, active person. You know, there's 90-year-olds running their business still. I think the one guy's 90 is an ENT, still practicing. He wrote a book. He, you know, these people, they don't stop. And I think a lot of that kind of goes back to those blue zone things. And really the things that we found is these people have a purpose. They wake up excited to start their day. They, you know, they love what they do. And, you know, to see that kind of same response from each person over and over and over again, I thought that was really amazing. You know, it's kind of, you know, they're all doing little different things, but they're all just, you know, really active. You know, no one's waking up, putting the TV on and lounging out because they're retired at 65. I mean, these people are, some of these people didn't start doing some of the things they're doing until they were 65. The one lady, I think, ran her first marathon at 65, and now she's running them in her 90s. You know, it's that kind of stuff where it's, you know, you have no limits, basically. You know, we all limit ourselves, you know, by thinking we can't accomplish these things. So, and these are basically people who have gone beyond that. You know, they really have no limits. They just keep pushing that.
I want to read a little bit from your book here, just a couple of lines under Honey Kimball's secret, stay fashionable. And it says, when I pay attention, 97 years old, by the way, when I pay attention to my appearance, I feel better about myself and I'm happier overall. It's not a matter of vanity or conceit. It's a matter of pride and respect for myself and those around me. Mm. And it's really sweet because basically what she's talking about, I mean, she wears strappy heels and gold hoop earrings. She's 97. She gets dressed every day because it makes her feel good.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because I think a lot of women, they reject, and men too, they reject the concept of they don't want to be seen as being vain.
Exactly.
Or materialistic, etc. So as we get older, we go like, oh, fuck that. Who needs that, right? But I think it is really nice to practice self-care every day, no matter what.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and for her also, I mean, she's a social person. So at 96 or 97 years old, she's up getting dressed and hoping someone stops by so she can go out with them. You know, I think that's a great, you know, her outlook is she's ready to go.
my stepmom, who's 93, who I went to visit on Sunday, she wasn't going anywhere, and she had some company coming over, us and a couple of other relatives, and she was there with her lipstick on and her hair done and her nails done and sitting just,
her whole game
face. The whole thing. You know, it's like, Dora, you are amazing. So, you know, I know it makes her feel good.
What color was her lipstick? Purple?
Well, it's usually some very bright shade of red that ends up on everybody's cheeks, right? Because she loves, she loves to kiss you. So I usually go home like a clown. You know, there's usually red splotches, and I don't wipe it off because it's very sweet.
I love it. Well, so again, we've been talking with Dr. Stephen Bowers. He's the author of Secrets of the World's Healthiest People. This is fascinating. This is the type of stuff I could talk about all the time.
Okay, so you dive fairly deeply into the science of aging in the book. What's one of the most interesting things you've learned about how we age?
Well, I mean, we already kind of touched on, I thought the telomere, the concept of the telomeres and shortening and you know, are we able to control those by our diet and exercising? There was another thing we went into, which is epigenetics, which is basically, you know, we're all made up of a certain DNA when we're born, and then, you know, the question is which of the DNA that we have is being expressed, and really what they're finding is we might be able to control what's being expressed, and they've kind of proven that when they look at twins, you know, identical twins at birth have the exact same DNA, yet there's subtle differences if they grew up together, and if they've been separated, there's actually pretty big differences in maybe their appearance, their height, their weight, you know, all these things that you think they'd be pretty similar in. And what they're finding is, depending on how you're raised, what your diet is, what your stress levels are, what your, you know, the inflammatory markers are, those things are turning off and on certain genes. Now, which genes those are, you know, I don't think they've quite discovered that yet. I'm not a geneticist, so I don't know all of that there is out there about it. But, you know, I think it's fascinating that, you know, we can control that. And what they're seeing is, you know, these people who are living to be this old, you know, diet, exercise, controlling stress, you know, we're actually changing the expression of our genes and our DNA. To me, that's fascinating. I mean, you can be born with something and basically change what that is. And that doesn't mean, you know, there's definitely genes out there that, you know, predispose people to cancers and illnesses and, you know, certain, you know, no matter what we do, you might not change that. But, you know, you can give yourself the best chance, you know, by following some of the stuff that, you know, we go over in our book.
Oh, that is fascinating. Mm-hmm. I also love Steve Colwell's secret, who says, be more than your bad knee or shoulder or hip. Don't let a chronic injury stop you. Diversify your workouts and play social sports, which is so important. So many people have an injury or an ailment. I mean, I have some back issues, but it never stops me from doing things. But you see all these people that they just go, oh, I can't do that anymore. Well, then do something else.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's hard to get.
Well, I think a lot
motivated.
Of people, you know, even like you said before, eating wise, people are looking for excuses. You know, oh, I'm too busy. I don't have time to work out. Oh, you know what? I got a bad knee. I hurt that in high school football. Well, you know, high school was 30 years ago, and you haven't done anything about it since. So, you know, people want excuses. They want reasons to not, you know, make these changes.
Sure. It's amazing because I feel like that gives me so much joy in my life, like those things. And so I wish people would understand that it's going to give them joy to work out and the endorphins and all of that.
Oh. Yeah, I agree. It's an addiction. You know, I think it's like anything else. It's like Diet Coke. You know, you have one Diet Coke and then you want another Diet Coke. And then the next thing you know, you're drinking the giant, 2-liter bottle a day. I look at exercise in the same way. I mean, I'll start to train for a half marathon and, you know, I'm running 2 miles and 3 miles. And then all of a sudden my wife's getting mad because I'm on a 2-hour run on a Saturday morning and wondering what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I mean, I love it. It feels good. It's like an addiction, but it's to something good. So
exactly.
It's good.
It's a healthy vice.
Yeah, and I think just for people to be aware that you can overdo something. You can become obsessed with exercise, too, and that's no healthier than not doing it at all. But there is something about moderation and balance that is what is so critical, I think. Do you agree with that?
100%. There's people who overdo it. There is no doubt about it. I mean, there is a limit to what we should be doing. And I can't quote the studies, but I'm pretty sure there are studies to show that once you reach a certain point, really you get no more benefit. And then I think you actually start to damage your body. I think they're starting to see that. I know in marathon runners, they have higher rates of atrial fibrillation. You know, in certain triathletes, I think it was higher rates of cardiac arrest. I mean, you can definitely push it too far. And I mean, by no means am I saying, yeah, go out for a 2-hour run every Saturday morning. You know, you got to be able to control that and, you know, enjoy what you're doing. You know, if that becomes an addiction and it's interfering with other parts of your life, you know, it's not good for you either.
And it's really nice for people who are kind of intimidated about exercise. Find a partner, find a friend, find somebody who you can start with and motivate each other to just go out there and do something fun. Make it fun, you know, have a power walk while you're talking about a problem. Or, I mean, I like to do that because even in EMDR, that's that alternating stimulation to the brain, walking is a form of solution-based to trauma and difficulty.
Yes, as a therapist, I've been walking a lot with my clients too.
Yeah, which is neat.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good for some clients. Mm-hmm. I don't know, they need to process that way. So yeah, I'm about it too.
So what are we missing? Tell us some other things that we haven't covered.
Well, actually, while you're thinking, I want to know if this has affected you and your wife at all, as far as did you change anything immediately or still want to change something but haven't?
Yeah, I mean, we're both, I mean, try and be pretty healthy. We both have a pretty good diet. I mean, we eat little meat. We both exercise pretty much on a daily basis. My wife runs every morning no matter what. I'm sometimes going in and out of longer, like I just said, running for, depending on what I'm training for or what I'm into. You know, the kind of stuff that I took away from the book and stuff I've always been trying to implement is kind of that positive attitude that all of these people have. You know, they're kind of happy, positive people. Another big topic that comes up in the book, and I've thought about this for years, is mindfulness, is kind of, you know, being present in the moment. I think so many of us are not, and I'm just as guilty, and it's something that I've actually worked at. It's crazy, but I remember the first time I heard this, it was from a janitor. I worked at the University of Pennsylvania in their lab, and I was in the elevator with a janitor, and he was talking to someone else about how everyone's always looking forward to their next vacation, and everyone, you know, can't wait to get home from work, and everyone, he's like, no one's happy doing what they're doing. And I was, I think, 22. It's 20 years later, and I still remember that, and I still think about that, and that's a topic that came up quite a bit in the book is, you know, enjoying the moment. You know, kind of like I said, you know, everyone's at work, can't wait to get home from work and do this. Oh, I can't wait, it's Monday, can't wait till Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Friday, I can't wait till Sunday, the football game. You know, everyone's always looking for that next thing. You know, enjoy the moment, enjoy work, enjoy being at your kid's baseball game, enjoy, you know, enjoy the day when you get to vacation, not what you're doing the next day. And it's tough to do sometimes, you know. That's something that I've, like I said, worked at. And reading this book, those are the things that I kind of took away, kind of trying to remain positive, remain active, you know, really try and stay in the moment. And I think that's where a lot of happiness comes from, is living in the moment. You know, it's, you know, they look at people who focus on the past and they're depressed, and they look at people who focus on the future and they're anxious. And it makes sense. You're scared about the future, or you're concerned what happened in the past. Live in the moment. Enjoy the moment. Be. I think it creates happiness for you.
Right. So what does regret get you? More regret. Regret
so
begets
true.
More regret. Shame begets more shame.
Yeah.
It's so sad. But our culture is so harsh with us, too, in so many ways, you know, in terms of, you know, why did you, we always ask people, why did you do that?
Yes.
Well, I've already done it. So how about what would you do differently next time? You know, you know, aren't you going to ever do that? Well, I don't know. I need to do the legwork to be able to see if I can ever do that. You know, I mean, we're just pretty harsh, I think, with people. So maybe changing our languaging in terms of how we motivate people and inspire people would also be valuable. One of the things I love about your book is it's so practical, and there's so many hands-on things. I mean, I love storytelling because people who tell stories make us so much more engaged. In the back of your book, you have the world's healthiest 9-week plan, and then you have recipes actually that follow. So can you share a little bit about that? Don't give it all away, but...
And can you cook for us?
Yes.
Because I love the recipes. But
actually, I love to cook. I almost decided to go to chef school instead of medical school.
Oh, wow.
I genuinely love to cook. So You know, some of those recipes were my wife's and mine, and you know, foods that we actually eat. Some were, you know, we did the book with Rodale and the prevention people. They have a whole kitchen, so they came up with some ideas as well. But yeah, the plan at the end basically incorporates kind of all of the things. You know, as you said, you know, it's kind of a storytelling. You hear each person's story. We kind of pull one or two, or really two or three things that they're doing, you know, that we think is having a positive impact. And then at the end of each of those, I kind of look through the literature and find evidence behind that. So, you know, here's the story. Here is the actual scientific evidence. And then at the end, we kind of pull it all together and kind of slowly put together a plan that, you know, builds on itself. You know, the first week, do this. The second week, do this. And it's just making, you know, easy, for some people not easy, but, you know, there's nothing, it's really just kind of, you know, regular things that you could change on a daily basis. And again, that was kind of the goal of the book. You know, you don't have to live in this one area. You don't have to, like, you know, these are just things that everybody can do. So yeah, then, you know, there's the plan at the end, kind of builds on itself. And then there's, you know, some recipes to follow if anyone's looking for, you know, different recipes or you know, ways to try to incorporate some healthier eating into their day. And they're easy. I mean, a lot of stuff that I do, you know, I do a smoothie in the morning. I make veggie burgers from scratch. They're just easy things that once you do it a couple times, they're quick, they're healthy, and they taste great. You just got to, you know,
put in the time.
Add the seasonings and spices you want, and yeah, delicious.
Do you have a veggie burger in this book? I'm not seeing it.
No, this is kind of funny. So I actually gave my recipe, and then the people at Rodale, the test kitchen, and it was funny. I told them how I do it, and I said, sometimes I have trouble getting the burgers to stick together. And they couldn't get the burgers to stick together. So it's Steve's salad. So it's basically everything I put in my veggie burgers, and then they just said, put it over.
That's smart.
But I form that into a burger, and cook it. So yeah, that was how that's how that happened. But yeah, those are really that's the base of my veggie burger.
Is it a cook in a pan or in the oven?
I do it I do a cast iron pan, and I kind of get it nice and hot so I can kind of crisp both sides and kind of get some structure to it.
Yep.
And then usually what I would end up doing is just, you know, I pat them, I cook them on a cast iron, and then when we have people over where we're going to eat them, I'll just heat up the grill and throw them on the grill and kind of heat them up, and then they're already formed and ready to go.
I love it. And for those of you who might be thinking, oh, they have to be really boring if they're really healthy, you actually have ready-to-eat chocolate chip cookie dough as a recipe. I'm, like, salivating right now. And it's dark chocolate, Kelly.
Done. I'll actually.
You're going to make
time.
This. You can do this.
Say, yeah,
you can do this. This is, you have to challenge Kelly. When you challenge her, we had this nutritionists on. They had the most beautiful book that was all these colorful pictures of all this stuff, and we challenged her to actually pick a recipe.
I did it.
And she did, and she got her children to eat broccoli and her husband.
Yeah,
this was amazing.
Exactly. Yeah. So, okay, all right, we'll do it. I mean, look, you don't have to force me to make cookie dough.
But she's very smart. She pretends like she can't cook, therefore nobody asks that of her. Isn't that smart? Right?
I wish. My husband wishes that were the case. I can make a mean bowl of cereal, and that's what I say. I mean, I'm really bad, but I... Thank God I like to eat healthy, so I can just order it and then, you know, somebody else can cook it. But I don't know. Maybe this will be a challenge for me. I'm going to look at your recipes.
You got to do it. Okay.
Yeah,
it's right there on page 287. There's like four steps.
But Dr. Steve, I want to talk to you about, because I noticed that you talked about apple cider vinegar in here, and I wanted to ask you something medically. This is really funny. So I have a major, major vomit phobia, and I read about something where somebody in your family gets the stomach virus. If you take a couple shots of apple cider vinegar throughout the day, you can prevent it. And I swear my life, one time someone in my family got it, I was downing that stuff, and I never got it. So maybe it was placebo, but I'm curious your thoughts.
I've never heard about it with preventing like a GI, like a viral GI bug type of thing, gastroenteritis. That's not to say I just don't know. I've never heard about it for that. If it does work, my wife would love it, because my wife also is very is not a fan of vomiting.
Right.
You know, whether it's the kids, herself,
yes.
anyone. I mean, she. If the kids are vomiting, usually I'm, you know, standing there with them.
Yeah.
So if it does work, you know, she would be the first to also try that. I know of nothing in it preventing that.
Okay.
You know, we do go into a little bit of, you know, some of the literature behind apple cider vinegar and mm-hmm. kind of the health benefits of it. And but yeah, I don't know about it preventing any GI illnesses. But if it works, hey,
as
far as I'm concerned, if it's placebo and it's something healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Why go not? With it.
Yes, exactly.
And then on that personal note, I want to ask something about turmeric. Can turmeric cause bloody noses? I went on this kick of having like a lot of turmeric in a little shot glass with organic stevia and organic almond milk. And I don't mm-hmm. know if too much, if there is such a thing as too much turmeric, but I started getting bloody noses and I couldn't leak it to anything else. And then I started reading about that, and it does have a thinning effect, right, on your blood as well as anti-inflammatory. Is it possible that they are linked?
It's possible. I mean, anytime you take something that, and there's a lot of spices, herbs that have similar effects to, you know, medications we use. So they're blood, you know, blood thinners, antiplatelet, whatever you want to call it. You know, per se, that just shouldn't cause you to have a bloody nose. But if there's something going on that's causing you to have, you know, an area that's prone to bleed. Once you bleed, you know, if you're eating a lot of something that is giving you those effects, you will definitely have, you know, more trouble stopping that bloody nose and get it more often. I mean, but it shouldn't cause you to just, you know, bleed unless you're maybe eating way too much of it.
Well, that's what I don't know. When you get a pill, a capsule of turmeric, it's a tiny little amount. I'm probably putting in like a teaspoon and a half.
I would think it'd be like the same as a pill, though. No?
No, it's much more than what would be the size of a pill,
yeah.
which is
so
tiny.
Maybe
it is
too much. Yeah. You're overdosing it.
I like turmeric.
Well, you and your pepper, too. Today. Oh, my God. She got her salad, and the guy's like, fresh pepper? And, like, he was going for, like, 10 minutes. I'm like, Deborah, this poor guy's arm is going to fall off here.
I would have asked him to just give me a pile in my hand, and I would have just eaten it as, you know,
as
like snacks. Yeah.
Why
not? You know, better than raisins.
I'm like strapped to my seat with this topic.
I know, we have so much to ask.
I love it.
And yet, we have so little time.
I know, exactly.
Okay, if we missed anything, though, that you definitely want to put out there, please please do share, because I know we asked you that a little while ago and never gave you a chance to answer.
Yeah, no, I mean, really the main thing we want people to take away from this book is that, you know, everyone has the capability to make these changes and live a healthier life, and it's really never too late. You know, people make excuses up their whole life, or for one reason or another, you know, they think it's too late. They're 60, they've never run, they've never done this or that. You know, you can always start to make small changes, continue to build on those, you know, on a daily, weekly, even yearly basis, and those things will add up. And, you know, really there's no limit to what any of us can do, whether it's physically or mentally. You know, I think if everyone pushes themselves, you know, they amaze themselves at what they can accomplish. So, you know, we tried to keep the book down to earth, make it, you know, anyone can relate to, and make the changes there are things anyone can do.
Well, I love it. We're so happy to have you on. You sound wonderful. I feel like I need to meet your wife now, too, because she just, you know, like, if she's anything like you, I imagine you guys are pretty wonderful together. So we've been talking with Secrets of the World's Healthiest People with Dr. Stephen Bowers. And do you have a website or where people can find you and all that good stuff?
Well, there's a link to where you can get the book if interested.
Okay.
It's prevention.com/secrets offer. prevention.com/secrets offer, and that'll take you to the link where you can actually, it kind of goes through everything, you know, has some pictures of some of the people that are in the book, and then you can order the book from that link through Prevention.
It was just recently released. Yes.
How long ago?
Yeah, three weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, something.
That's
like
amazing.
that yeah recently.
That's
amazing.
Awesome. Yay.
Well,
thank you so much. What a fantastic guest. You're so delightful with so much spunk and energy.
So much spunk.
You're living your book. I think you have earned the title of World's Healthiest Man.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm so inspired. I really definitely want to read this one from cover to cover.
Yeah.
Because there's so many useful things in there. And so much that's already kind of like reinforcing,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I think you and I both talk about a lot of these great things, and Awesome. All right. So next week,
yes,
this is actually one of my friends who's amazing, and her name is Wendy Kawasaki. We had her husband on a while back. He was a financial planner. He talked about,
yes,
you know, risk taking and all that,
sure,
kind of stuff. Very interesting. And his wife is into Ayurvedic.
Oh, awesome.
And so she's going to talk to us about Vedic astrology, which is very different than, mm-hmm, Western astrology.
I can't wait. So does, yes, she need our birth dates and all that jazz?
Well, I've already done that. That's a very lengthy thing. So I don't know how much she can do,
okay,
for you in a short period of time, but we certainly when she writes in,
uh-huh,
you know, you can ask her if she can do a
I
short
love
one.
It.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
all
yeah.
over that.
Of course. She could probably highlight one particular part, like which planets you should probably be working on strengthening. Like I'm working on strengthening my moon, which means you wear certain colors. Like,
oh, interesting.
I have to wear white, silver, cream.
Can she strengthen my directions? Like help me?
I'm sure she can.
Because I'm not going to be able to find any planet in any which way. But
all right, hon. So good to see you again
you
after
too.
3 weeks. Love you all. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And you can Instagram us at Two Shrinks, Facebook, The Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show. You know our website, docandtherapist.com, and send us emails anytime. We love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to The Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.